Dr. Will Horton here on Radio Buzzed and Facebook Live.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Will here. Today, we're going to be talking about Beyond Recovery. I've got a couple shows sort of planned out, and of course, they're always open for questions, for topics you want to talk about. I know in a couple weeks, I'm going to be doing, not next Wednesday, the Wednesday after, because that's Super Bowl week. And a lot of people don't know that is the second or third biggest drinking day of the year is Super Bowl Sunday, because it's the day, you know, even the non-football fans get together for football parties. And, you know, many times it's not even an event to watch the game. It's a reason to get together and drink beer, eat, and hang out. And because it starts early and goes late, it's one of the biggest drinking holidays of the year. The biggest drinking holiday, in case anybody ever wonders, is the 4th of July. A lot of people don't realize that. They think it's New Year's Eve. Actually, I think that's the 4th or 5th. Anyway, today, as you know, this is the Alcohol Addiction Solution. We give topics on overcoming addictions and how to get in recovery or aspects of recovery. And it's not limited just to alcohol, even though that's the primary addiction I talk about. But I've treated, you know, all the drugs, you know, heroin, cocaine, meth, crack, barbiturates, marijuana. I mean, the list goes on. And other addictions, pornography, gambling, and social media. But for the next few weeks, we're focusing on a couple of different topics. And today, I wanted to talk about beyond recovery. What happens once you get into recovery? Well, one of the things I think we need to realize is, I heard a saying once, excuse me, that I really like is, unfortunately for most of us, we compare other people's highlight reels to our daily reel, or the things that are happening are the backstage, or like, you know, when you watch a movie and you watch the bloopers. So we compare your highlight reel to our bloopers, you know, it'd be like, yeah. And so then we think that our life is horrible, right? Because what are you setting your standard to? And again, today I was going to focus on beyond recovery. You know, what happens after you get into recovery? Well, one of the things begins to shift once you really begin to get it is moving from a victim into victory, right? Because many times when you're in an active addiction, you feel like a victim, right? To the addiction, to the substance, to the circumstances that addictive behavior puts you in, maybe with legal difficulties or work difficulties, family difficulties. Because you always hear me say, what drives people to want to get any kind of help? Whenever I get a phone call, I just talked to someone today, and it's always one of the four L's. You know, your lover, your liver, the livelihood, or the law, right? You know, either your family, your significant other, somebody tells you to get help. Your liver, you're having some kind of health issues. You can't, or you just can't shake off the effects like you used to. Last week, after our little show, Mr. Chris, the producer, and I talked about, you know, even if you're not have a substance abuse issue, after your late 30s, early 40s, you can't go out and party like you used to, right? You know, when you're young, maybe you could do it. And when you get older, so it's your body, your liver starts telling you things you can and can't do. It could be your livelihood, your boss, or, you know, maybe you have your own company. You're not working to your utmost, so that tells you to get help. Or, of course, the law. You know, you have the run-ins with the law, whether it's a DUI, a public intox, or sometimes it's just a close call, right? So, you know, I know one person called me to get help, and I said, well, you know, first of all, you should just actually, if you're a religious person, should say a prayer of thank you. If you're not, just send good energy, because what it was is they were in a sobriety checkpoint, you know, and they still do those, and they'd had a few drinks. And so once they get in the checkpoint, a car came behind them. Of course, once you get in one, you can't turn around because they'll come get you because that's what they do. So he's like, oh my God, right? Well, and then right before it was his turn, like a car or two before his turn, some other car comes up, kind of whips around, blows through the thing. So then the cops take off, and you know, the last cop that was doing the sobriety checkpoint got in his car. And so the you know, they had a pursuit going on. So he didn't have to do the sobriety checkpoint because he's like, you know, I know I would have flunked, you know. And he just had a coworker, guy had a good job, but he had a coworker got a DUI and told him how expensive it was. Not just the $5,000 or $6,000 for the lawyer and the court costs and all that, but also the fact that he had to get that high risk insurance for the next, you know, I think 3 years. So that like quadruples your rate of insurance. So that's why people get help. So here's, you know, today I just want to talk about, you know, when people do come into recovery, one of the things that has to happen is you have to have the guts to be different. You have to have the guts to be different, right? Because again, we'll use alcohol as a primary example. Could be marijuana if a lot of people you hang out with smoke dope. But if you decide to break from the norm, that's tough, right? And some of the people you think would support you are gonna hold you back. But especially for alcohol, because in our culture, it's one of the only drugs that you have to justify not using. You know, I tell the story. It just happened this holiday. I was at a party and was first. I do theater. That's my other big passion. And so I was doing a show. I'm in a show. But anyway, I went out afterwards with some theater people. And they're like, oh, would you got to a party? Here, have a drink. I said, no, thank you. I just, you know, had a bottle of water, brought my own. And they're like, oh, well, we got this and that. And, oh, well, you have to taste this. I'm like, no, that's good. I'm fine. You know, and I still remember the lady looking at me going, you know, oh, come on, you know, what's it going to hurt? How long has it been since you had a drink? I said, well, you know, many, many years. Well, you could have just a little. I said, I don't want it. She goes, but don't you want to have fun? And I remember that struck me because I'm sitting there and I look around. I go, I'm pretty sure I could have a lot of fun without drinking. Right? I mean, a lot of you people have known me for several years, been in shows with me. Would you say I have fun? You know, and one of the people there said, well, basically, you're batshit crazy. And I don't drink. I don't need alcohol to have fun. Now, I'm not sure if this lady had a drinking problem or not, but she bought into the idea that it's more fun when you have a few drinks, right? Which is one of the messages that we get, right? That, you know, again, Super Bowl Sunday's coming up, and it's the most expensive day of the year to run advertising on television. You know, whatever station's running the Super Bowl, it's last year, I think it was $5 million for a 30-second ad, right? And so when you count the ads, that's where you see the money. But count the ads. It's primarily alcohol-related or a lot of car companies. You know, they're trying to get their cars out there. But it's like, especially the alcohol, right? And the a lot of the ads are made to make you think you'll have more fun if you have a drink, you know, and it's built into our culture, you know. And again, you have to have the guts to be different, right? You have to have the guts to be different. And it's kind of a paradox. I always say it's kind of a paradox, right? Because, excuse me, that you don't understand the freedom of not drinking till you get it if you're a drinker. That, you know, even though it's been many, many years since I've had a drink, I could drink. I could drink whatever I want, whenever I want. The difference is I have absolutely no desire to drink, right? I have no desire to drink. Again, if you're watching this, click like and share, pass this around. And so what's it like when you get that feeling of not needing a drink? Of getting to the point, and this, I was going to talk about beyond recovery, when you get beyond that just basic fighting a drink or not getting high till you begin to enjoy being sober, and you get to the point you don't want to drink, even if you could drink, right? Where you get that true control back, right? I describe it as it's like being in the Matrix when you finally wake up, you know, and when you finally wake up, it makes you realize most people are asleep. Okay. And when you realize most people are asleep, you realize how easy it is to get people to do things. Right. And if they buy into the idea that you'll have more fun if you have a few drinks, you know, or whatever it is, you know, every once in a while someone will say something seemingly innocuous, but when you listen to it underneath, you go, like someone said, you know, well, I have to be able to have a few drinks if I'm going to like a wedding or something or going out and we're going to dance, because everyone knows you can't dance sober. And I'm like, really? You know, the linguist in me goes, everyone? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that don't. And I said that. I said, well, I'm sure there's people that dance not drinking. Oh, not really. I said, well, I'm one. You know, my wife happened to be there and she goes, she's one. Right. So therefore, your statement is false. Well, this didn't go over well with the guy, but he needed a drink to give himself permission to let go and just have fun. And I asked him, well, what would it be like if you could just give yourself the permission to dance, have fun, shake your booty, do whatever you want to do, and not have to give the excuse of, oh, I wouldn't have danced like that if I wasn't drunk. Dance like it, you know? They say, one, you know, people that think that way don't have the courage to dance like no one's watching, you know. And so I asked the guy who made that statement, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you ever dance around when nobody's looking? And he like looked at me. I go, you know, when you're out in your garage or you're doing whatever you're doing, do you ever like move around and dance? He goes, well, yeah, of course. I go, but were you drinking then? He goes, no. I said, so you could. You know, you're just mistakenly linking two things, right? And so what happens in Beyond Recovery is you feel like many people feel like they're missing out, right? They're missing out because of not drinking, you know? And so that's one of the first things that you have to do when you get in recovery is figure out how to have fun sober, especially if for a lot of your life, you know, alcohol or your drug of choice, but I would say alcohol, is somehow linked to your social network. This is the way you have fun. You have a few drinks. It gives you the permission, again, like I said, to act out, to have fun. If you don't learn how to do that without it, then you feel like you're missing out. You know, you feel like you're missing out. And, you know, it's when you have that, then you fall back into the matrix where, oh my God, you know, I can't do this. I can't do that. Right. And one of the things, and this is why the alcohol is so addictive. It's considered the most dangerous drug on the planet because it's still in places where it's legal. It's so socially acceptable that it adds in that whole level of, I need this to do that. Right. And so once you get into that, then it's hard to, you know, leave it alone. That's why you see people, they say they're going to quit drinking and they just white knuckle it. They don't do anything to make that change from the inside out, because for you to really overcome this kind of issue, you have to change from the inside out. And once that begins to happen, you know, then you really begin to morph. But you see people just white knuckling it or just saying, I'm just not going to drink. And then after a few months, they end up relapsing because they want to go have fun. They want to go dance. They want to go enjoy something, but they don't know how to do it without it. Because maybe in their family of origin, you know, the only time they saw mom or dad or people around them have fun is when they were drinking or getting high. And so now, you know, and that's most people's, from the thousands and thousands of clients I worked with, generally the number one fear of getting clean and sober, getting control back, is will I ever have fun again? You know, will I ever have fun again? Somehow in your mind, they paint in this picture, I'm just going to go home after work and sit there, you know, watch Love Boat reruns and cry in my towel or something, right? And But and then again, you know, if they do try to stay home, then what are you surrounded with? You know, every third commercial, I think, give or take, depending on what you're watching, is a beer commercial or a wine commercial, or, you know, now they advertise spirits. So it's like, oh, look, and it's like what you're missing out of, you know. And then, but when you really get honest, the other thing that begins to happen is the justification. It's called YOLO. I've heard it called YOLO, Y-O-L-O, which stands for you're only young once, right? Yo-yo, you're only young once, Y-O-Y-O, right? So you're only young once, or you only live once, YOLO or YOLO, depending how you look at it. But so you'll justify it, right? Oh, well, that's why I did that, right? But then when you look at it, especially if you think you're beginning to have a problem with drinking, you look back, well, yeah, I went on that Caribbean cruise. I had the client call with that. And they go, you know, when they came back, they said, that's when I realized I needed to get some help. I said, why? You went on a Caribbean cruise. You're not suffering financially, I don't think. I don't know. I didn't do the intake yet. And they said, no, it's not that. They had a good job. Well, they self-employed. I get a lot of self-employed entrepreneurs types. And you go, they didn't want to go away to treatment. That's why they call me. But he's like, I went on with his wife and some friends, right? The kids all went and stayed with the in-laws. So they're down in one of those resorts where it's all you can, everything's included, so it's a free bar, free food. And he goes, you know, he barely remembered lots of the days after 3 or 4 or 5 in the afternoon, because they'd meet down in the pool, you know, and they'd start, you know, and the place is giving them drinks, or they'd have a drink, then he'd have another drink, and then, you know, and he said, well, when I'm drinking too, I don't want to eat a lot, so he'd get all buzzed up. And he goes, you know, out of the six nights, 5 days, many of those evenings, he doesn't hardly remember nothing, you know? And they were talking about it, and the other person was, yeah, well, you're only young once, let's enjoy it. You only live once, let's just enjoy it. And he's like, you know, I paid an awful lot of money. And then he noticed one of, not in their group, there was a couple people there that one day, it was early in the day, like lunchtime, or brunch, and everybody's there, and this person had a big cup of coffee, and they're sitting there, and of course they're coming around with the mimosas and all the drinks. And the guy went, no, I don't have any. He goes, we're getting a, it was like one of the last, I think the last day, he said. He goes, no, we're renting a Jeep, and we're going up into the mountains. It was probably in the Dominican Republic or Cancun, so wherever it was, right, down in the Caribbean. And he looked at that, and he goes, that looks like fun. He goes, yeah, I you know, he goes, yeah. And so then the next day he saw the guy. He said, how was that trip? He goes, oh, it was great. We went up mountains, saw a waterfall, did this, did that. And then one of the other people goes, yeah, we haven't seen like any of the parties and that. And he goes, well, we've been going to restaurants. We've been doing this. And he goes, you know, yeah, he doesn't drink. And the other person said, well, oh, my God, but we paid all this money. He goes, I'm enjoying this five-star resort, you know, all-inclusive, that's what it's called. Excuse me, I couldn't think of it. He goes, but I have more fun not drinking. The guy said, oh, you can't drink? He goes, I could drink. I don't want to drink. And that's what got this person that called me up thinking. He goes, I want to be that way. I want to be the person that just doesn't want to drink. It's not that I'm sitting there like, oh, I can't have fun with all my friends. Because he goes, this guy was start telling them what all he did on the vacation. He had a blast. You know, he went did this thing. They flew on the trapeze. They did some other stuff. They, like I said, took the trip up in the mountains. They enjoyed their vacation, right? Now, would they have enjoyed it more with alcohol? I dare say no, right? Because you see, how many of us, even those of us that don't drink by our own choice, probably have as much fun as anybody else. I would say much more, and remember everything, you know? And if you get to that point where I say beyond recovery, where there's nothing in your life a drink will make better, like your vacations, your holidays, a date. You know, I used to get people calling me up, and I still get them, you know, I do different kinds of treatment now, but I still do, you know, alcohol and drug treatment. It's my primary thing. So, and if you have any questions, go to the alcoholandaddictionsolution.com, alcoholandaddictionsolution.com. There's also a Facebook page, Alcohol and Addiction Solution page. Make sure you click like and share, but go to the website. But, you know, that I got a people would come in because they were single, either a divorce or they were ready to get married, and they knew that drinking or getting high was getting in the way of them getting the relationship that they wanted, you know. And it was one person came in. It was a beautiful young lady. And she goes, yeah, she went on a date with a guy, a couple of dates, and she really enjoyed it. She goes, he's the kind of guy I like. He's good looking. He's articulate. Seems like a nice guy. And they went on two dates, and she was very interested. And then she never heard from him. So finally she reached out to him and said, oh, yeah, well, let's get together again. He goes, no, I really don't want to. Yeah, you drink too much for me. And she goes, I only had a couple glasses of wine. So she goes, well, what are you, some stick in the mud? He goes, nah, I saw what drinking did to my parents. And I don't want any part of it. You're a beautiful lady. I wish you the best. But, you know, I don't want to go out anymore. And first of all, she was shocked because I said she was good looking, right? And she goes, I never heard that before. I go, would it have been better for him to, like, just go out with you a couple more times and, you know, have sex a few times, then dump you? But he was looking for a relationship. Hi, Tony. And again, click like and share. But so that's why she decided to get some help. She goes, you know, and I started thinking about it. I'd be so nervous going on a date. And I said, why are you nervous? She goes, well, you know, all the reasons we are. And she was using alcohol. I said, so you're just self-medicating, you know. And she goes, I never thought of it that way. I go, well, we need to help you get to the point where you could do what you want to do without a drink. You know, anyway, she went through my protocol. That was several years ago. Doesn't drink by her own choice. She sounds like me. She could drink if she wanted. She doesn't want to. She ended up getting married. Last I heard, it was a couple years ago. I think they were trying to have a child. She married a guy that had a child, but they were going to get another one. But the reason she called me was she was just thanking me for helping her make those changes. So, you know, and so there's that, you know, why are you doing it? Especially if you don't want to do it, right? And the reason she finally called me, I got to tell the story the rest of the way. She goes, after that experience with that guy, she goes, okay, the next date, I'm not gonna drink. And she goes, I felt like shit. I didn't know how to have fun. I'm like, this guy was laughing and joking. And then I saw him have a couple of drinks, and I didn't like it because she wasn't drinking. And this is what happens again when you come out of the matrix of alcohol. She's like, I didn't like it. And I thought, is that what that guy that she was going out with saw in her when she'd have a couple of glasses of wine? You know, it's shit you think is hilarious. It's like, yeah, it might be mildly amusing, but is it hilarious? So, you know, this is a lot of the reasons why people reach out for help and give me a call or go to the Alcohol Addiction Solution and look around to get the help that they need. So, again, if you like this, click like and share. And, again, you know, it's about freedom, you know, about getting to the point where you don't want to drink, where you don't want to get high, right? And I, before I get ready to wrap it up, I want to say, again, don't compare your vaccines video of how, you know, how your life's all screwed up just because it's life. Everybody's life's a little messy behind the scenes to someone else's highlight reel. You know, again, like, you know, just think about times you've stretched the story to make it sound like it's so much fun. Oh, I went to this party and then this happened and then that happened and then this happened and it was so much fun. Everybody's like, oh, I want to go next time. And then you're like, but inside, you know, you're also leaving out that, yeah, and the next day I was deathly sick, you know, got in a fight, whatever it was, right? So, you know, don't compare your life, your behind the scenes video with other people's highlight reels. And again, because you don't know what you don't know. And, you know, I just read some research right before we started the show about the five most addictive, dangerous drugs in the world. And they are, you know, heroin, cocaine, barbiturates, or, you know, downers, nicotine, and alcohol. And of all of those, right, and pain pills would fall under the heroin thing because it's, you know, opioid based, but all of those are some of the most addictive. But when you look at the sheer numbers, the most dangerous, the most impactful, the one that causes the most dangerous is alcohol. Because about at any given time, 1 billion people on the face of the earth drink. 3 million people die a year from alcohol-related problems. You know, but you know, health issues, suicide, but they're drunk when they commit suicide. Like we found some celebrities that have committed suicide, and when the tox screen comes back, a lot of them come back positive for alcohol, right? So 3 million people a year die from like that, like suicide, car accidents, of course, cirrhosis of the liver, other accidents, you know, things like that. And they actually think the number is much higher than 3 million, because if you got some means and you die of like cirrhosis of the liver, your physician may put you down, you know, dying of something else, not from alcohol related. And someone asked, is weed had for you bad? It must be bad for you.
That was,
well, the long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough crowd. I'm here till Thursday. It's not good for you. I mean, first, it's doing all the damage to your lungs like any other smoke. And don't forget, there's all the other carcinogens in that. And it's bad for you if it's hurting you. That's the number one rule. Is it getting in the way of other things? Is there things in your life you would like to do that you're not doing, but you're getting high over? You know, in the alcohol recovery world, they call drinking about it. You know, sitting at the bar, having a couple beers, drinking about it, I'm going to go back to college. You know, having a couple of drinks, drinking about it, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to start my own band. I'm going to do this. Well, then it's a problem. And I know people that – I've got a lot of people that called me because, you know, they would smoke a lot of dope. And she, at first it wasn't a problem, but that, yeah, it's like I couldn't wait to get off work, grab a – you know, go home, light up, get high, kick back, and do nothing, right? Some of the long-term research does point out that it takes the and don't take this the wrong way, the aggressiveness, the assertiveness, the I want to get out there and do something approach, right? So, yeah, it's a problem if you think it's a problem. It's a problem if it's stopping you from doing the things in your life you want to do, right? And, again, just like the alcohol, you know, is there anything in your life it really makes better? You know, I mean, you get really high and you think, oh, this music is so wonderful. And then you one day when you're cold sober, you listen to it and you go, what is that shit? You know, but when you're high, it sounds good. God knows food that happens too. If you're really high, if you get the munchies, everything is good. And you look back and go, why did I eat Cheetos with White Castle hamburgers? Jesus Christ, what was I thinking? You know, well, so it can be bad for you. So if it's a problem and you can't stop, that's my specialty. But come out of the matrix. You can do all this without it. Again, if you like this show, click like and share. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. But we're just trying to help people make these changes. And next week, we're going to do a special on Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, how to have fun on Super Bowl Sunday if you're one of the ones that doesn't participate in anything, how to do that, and, you know, how to live the life you want without being a slave. In other words, how to come out of the matrix. And you do that with being sober. So thank you, and I'll see you as we trudge the road to destiny. May the sun be in your face and the wind at your back.
Dr. Will with the Alcohol and Addiction Solution Show. Join us each week here live on Facebook and RadioBuzz.com.